We're going to be turning to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah. Some exciting truths that I'd like to share with you this morning. As we've been talking about prayer, of course, our theme this year is prayer, and you can see the poster here on the wall. I'm thankful that we finally got it and got it up. And so that's a blessing to have that here. And our theme, God has sovereignly chosen to work in response to the prayers of his people. James 5:16, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Thank God for the fact that God hears and answers prayer. God hears and answers prayer. And we want to continue this morning talking about prayer. This morning we're going to talk about the character of the one to whom we pray. We could really talk a lot about this. This is each of the points that I have this morning could easily be messages in themselves. The character of the one to whom we pray. And so this morning, we may have to take 4 hours to go through this because of the massive amount of material on every point. No, I'm kidding. We won't do that, but we are going to talk about the character of our God. What an amazing opportunity we have in prayer to talk to someone, not just anyone, but someone who loves us, cares about us, and we're going to dive right in. So let's look here at Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, we're going to begin with verse number 18. Verse 18 through 22 is going to be our memory passage for the month of March. And so I hope that you will work on that. Isaiah 45, beginning with verse number 18. Notice what the scripture says here. It says, "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it. He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none else beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you that you are God and there is none else. You are Jehovah, the true and living God. Oh, the one who has created this world we live in, the universe, the stars, and the mighty hosts of the heavenly skies. You have designed this earth amongst all the planets circling in this solar system. You have designed this singular planet for us and for it to be inhabited by us. Thank you for your mighty handiwork. Thank you even beyond this that you are a just God and a Savior, for without a Savior, we are doomed and damned. thank you for giving your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for caring enough about us, giving your Son to live among us a sinless life and to die for our sin upon the cross of Calvary. Thank you for the precious blood that he shed, his very life blood that flowed out on our behalf. That today people can still be saved because of Jesus and the price that's been paid. Thank you, Lord, for this. I pray you'd bless this meeting, that you'd bless the preaching of your word. You'd teach us a little more about your character, O Lord. Thank you that we can talk to you. Thank you that you hear prayer. Thank you that you're a just God and a Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. The character of the one to whom we pray. Well, first of all, I would like you to consider that the one to whom we pray is attentive and understanding. He is attentive and understanding. This is a blessing. Oh, consider just, I'll share a verse from the book of Psalms. Psalm 65, verse 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Psalm 65, verse 2. O thou that hearest prayer. You know, that seems like something that we could easily just skim over and not realize how good it is that there's a God in heaven who hears prayer. Oh, friend, it doesn't matter the darkest corner of your life. It doesn't matter the spot you get into. It doesn't matter the troubles you've had or the failures. We have a God in heaven who hears and understands prayer. Attentive and understanding. Oh, you're in Isaiah 45. Just go back a page or two or three to Isaiah 41. Isaiah 41, verse 17. Verse 17, the Bible says, when the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, read it with me. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. Wow. You know, these are, we could go to so many portions of Scripture, but God is a God who hears prayer. He's attentive and understanding. Look here at Isaiah 45. We've read this passage. We've seen it reiterated how God is the creator of the world, and he formed it on purpose. He formed it to be inhabited. This world is not an accident. It's not a big cosmic crash that has accidentally produced a planet with all the beautiful water for our life, with all the intricacies of the organisms. These are designed by God. He is the Lord, and there is none else. Now notice verse 19, if you would. I have not spoken in secret. In other words, God is saying, I've declared truth openly, all right? In a dark place of the earth. In other words, he's saying, I've declared who I am. I have shown my mighty works. And so, continuing in verse 19, I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. He did not say to Jacob, seek me, but it'll be pointless. He didn't say, seek ye me in vain. In other words, I get the idea here. I apply this, and you know, as we seek God, of course, he's specifically talking to the seed of Jacob, which is the nation of Israel, his chosen people. But by extension, it certainly and absolutely applies to us. Friend, it is never in vain to seek God. Seeking God, and one of the ways that we seek God is through prayer. Seeking him and coming before the throne of grace to find help in time of need. And it is not in vain. It is not in vain because God hears prayer. It is worth it to pray. It is worth it to seek God. It is productive. That's what the verse, our key verse, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. It accomplishes a lot. And so seeking God, because he is attentive and understanding, he hears prayer. Think about this for just a moment. God even hears, quote unquote, silent prayers. In other words, you could not even utter a sound that could be picked up on a recording device. But yet God can hear the message, the groan, the plea before your coming from your spirit. He hears prayer, even silent prayers. The Bible tells us he knows our thoughts. Consider this. All of the different languages of the world. You know, we kind of get thinking that English is, you know, since it's so worldwide in many ways, and, you know, we think English is, you know, God, obviously God speaks English, right? Well, obviously he does. But he speaks every language. Swahili, you know, Tagalog. God speaks all of the languages. He understands all of the languages of the world. There is no language that he does not understand. And so consider that. As people, I mean, just pause for a moment and consider the attentiveness of God, that across the globe, even at this time, there could be at any given time millions, even a billion people praying to the true and living God. And he can hear every one of them, including you. And he knows your name. He's attentive and understanding. Oh, he understands the predicaments we get into. I think of Jesus, and let's take just a short moment to go over to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews and chapter 2, I'll have to keep moving along, but I want to point out a few scriptures here in the book of Hebrews, thinking about how understanding God is. Hebrews chapter 2, I'd like to start with verse 16. Verse 16, the Bible says, "For verily," speaking of Jesus, "for truly he took not on him the nature of angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham." Jesus became a man like us, a human being like us. Verse 17, "Wherefore in all things it behooved him," that's Jesus, it was something Jesus wanted to do, "it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren." Why? "That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted." The word succor means to bring aid to the ministry that a nurse brings to a hurting person. They succor them. They come to their side and bring help. And this is what Jesus has done. This is what Jesus does. And he is understanding. He himself hath suffered. The mighty God has faced trial and tribulation and temptation. He has been rejected of friends. He's been despised by others. He's been mistreated and abused. He's faced the temptation of the devil himself, yet without sin. But he understands what it is. And so, friends, when we pray, understand you're talking to someone who not only is attentive to your need, he wants to hear, he's ready to listen, but he's understanding. he's understanding. Oh, look at Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. It's kind of saying it in the negative way. We have a high priest who has been touched with the feelings of our infirmities, was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. There is prayer right there in verse 16. Let us come. Let us come boldly, for we have someone ready to listen and someone who understands our predicament. Oh yes, the character of the one to whom we pray. And we could go on to talk about how able he is to help us. I mean, the limitless of his resources and all of that, but we don't have time for that at this time. But consider Isaiah 59, verse 1, which says, "The Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear." Oh, friends, yes, God is good. God is good. And so, number one here this morning, the character of the one to whom we pray, our God is attentive and understanding. Secondly, I would like you to notice that the one to whom we pray is loving and kind. He is loving and kind. Consider the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans, chapter 8. We'll start with verse 34. Romans 8, verse number 34. The Bible says, "Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God," would you read it with me, "who also maketh intercession for us." Wow. He's at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. There's another reference to prayer. Not only his availability for us to get to the Father. As we pray in Jesus' name. This is biblical, because it's through Jesus we get to the Father. Oh friends, it's not through Mary that we get to the Father. The Bible never, not even once, gives any indication of praying to Mary or to any other saint, but only the name of Jesus. There is no other name in heaven or earth above, in earth or heaven above, through which we are to pray, but it is through Jesus, the one who gave himself for us, who maketh intercession for us. It talks here about the love of God in this passage. I'll back up to verse 31. We're in chapter 8 of Romans, verse 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God is for us, it doesn't matter who the enemy is. It doesn't matter what is going wrong. If God is for us, who can be against us? It is insignificant. Verse 32, "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things?" Oh, my friend, it is God's pleasure to bless his children. The initial price of salvation, Jesus giving his life for us, was the beginning of God's love gift to us. But it is not the end of God's loving heart towards you. God is loving and he is kind. Oh, friends, consider verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? The passage goes on to explain and to state very boldly that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of Jesus Christ. Shall tribulation, distress, new regulations? No. No persecution, no famine, no nakedness, no peril, no sword. As it is written, "For thy sakes We are killed all the day long. Oh, sometimes the road of the biblical Christian is hard. Sometimes there is persecution. There is opposition. And absolutely, we see it on the rise in our world today. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. But look at this, verse 37. Nay, but in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Why? Through Him that loved us. We are loved. I'll tell you what, God is for you. God, your heavenly Father, has your best interest in mind. Yes, He does. Oh, friends, where they're in our world where everybody's looking to get ahead and they're liking to step on the little guy and they're liking to take advantage of people and just use you for what they can get out of you and then throw you away. But that is not the character of our God. He is a loving and kind God. He has our best interest in mind. He is not looking to take advantage of you. He is looking to bless you. He is looking and preparing a place for you and me for all eternity with Him. We could look at John 17 and all the things Jesus prayed, loving prayers about His followers, that they would be with Him where He is, that they would behold His glory. Oh, the joy of heaven awaits every child of God. And friend, if you don't know Christ, maybe someone joining online, even this day, you don't know Christ as your Savior, there's a God in heaven, the true and living God who loves you. And He wants you to come to Him in simple faith. You can be saved. A loving and kind Heavenly Father. Oh, my friend, God is for us. He gave His life so that people could be saved. You know, in Luke chapter 18, we are introduced by Jesus to a very unkind individual. Luke 18, Jesus tells a story, a parable, to prove and point out some spiritual truth. It's a really uncaring judge, an uncaring judge. And as Jesus spake this parable, verse 2, He says that there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. He didn't care two flips about other people. He did not regard man. You know, as I thought about that, I thought about Psalm 8 and verse 4, where the psalmist says, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him?" What is man? God has regarded man. But this unjust judge, he did not care about other people. And it describes here in verse 3 how there's a widow with a real problem, and the judge doesn't care. The judge doesn't care. And he's not going to lift a finger for her. Verse 4, and it says he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, "Though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me." She kept on calling, she kept on knocking, she kept on writing him emails and all of this, and his secretary was getting frustrated, and you know the background, right? And the judge finally said, "All right, what do you need?" And he helped her. And the contrast is of how much our God hears prayer and how He is loving. He's not like this callous, uncaring judge who doesn't care about a helpless widow. Our God cares. He's loving and kind. It says here in verse 7, well, actually verse 6, the Lord said, "Hear what the unjust judge saith. And shall not God avenge or do what's right to help His own elect, His own children which cry day and night unto Him?" though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them. He will do justice for them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? God will help us. You see, when we pray, we are coming before a loving Heavenly Father. He's loving and kind. In Lamentations chapter 3, verse 25, the Bible says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. The Lord is good." The song goes, "The Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go. The Lord is good. Tell it that others may know. Tell of his blessings and tell of his love. Tell how he's watching from heaven above. The Lord is good. Tell it wherever you go." When you call out to God, you're calling out to someone who's attentive and understanding. You're calling out to someone who loves you and cares about you. He's kind. He's good. Jesus said these words. He said, "He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him." John 14, 21. The love of God. In a world we've got so much hate, so much selfishness, but in our God, the character of our Lord is so much giving, sacrifice for us. We'll go to one last scripture. We'll have to take up the last 2 points next week. Ephesians in chapter 2, the book of Ephesians, thinking about the love and the kindness of God. Ephesians 2, notice verse 5. Well, verse 4. "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins," what an unlovable condition, "and yet he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." In a real sense, you have a place in heaven, a sitting place, together with Christ. For those of us who know Christ, for those of us who have received that salvation through Jesus. But I want you to notice verse 7. "That in the ages to come," so let me get this right, "I trust Jesus as my Savior, when I'm a sinner, when I'm his enemy, when I'm lost in sin, and he gives me a place in his beautiful heaven, and then he discloses to us in this passage the plans he has for our future together. Look at them in verse 7. "That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace." In what? In his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. This is not talking about the cross and the price Jesus paid there. This is talking about plans God has in the ages to come to show the riches of his grace in his kindness toward us. Oh, friends, the character of the one to whom we pray, he is attentive and understanding, a God who hearest prayer. He is loving and kind. We could talk on these 2 points a lot longer. But my friend, sometimes it's hard to talk to somebody that you feel like doesn't listen. Sometimes it's hard to talk to somebody who you feel like doesn't really care about you. But how much more joyful it is, whether it's on the phone or in person, to visit with someone and talk with them and to unlay some burden when you know they care. When you know they really have your best interest in mind. They will not do you wrong. They are looking to help you and bless you. And when you call on God, you are calling on someone who is of that perfect character, who really does care about you. Thank God, the character of the one to whom we pray.